I want you to look again now, Luke chapter 19, and notice the same language, the same themes that you see here at the end of our Lord's life. Same ones are also found back in Luke 2 at the very beginning of our Lord's life. Notice verse 37, "And when he was come nigh, even now, unto the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Well, I think you'll notice that's very reminiscent of our Lord's birth, where the heavenly host praised God and said, "Glory to God in the highest on earth, peace and goodwill toward men." And of course, also in Luke 2, it says, "Unto you is born this day in the city of King David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Well, look at verse 41. "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes." I want to speak this morning on the subject, "Today's the day." Today is the day. In this thy day, our Lord said, and in verse 44, "This thy day of visitation." You see, way back again at the birth of the Lord, the angel announced that that was their day. "Unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." That was their day. Most of them didn't even know that. And now here at the very end of Jesus' life, as he enters into the city of Jerusalem for the very last time, most of them still don't know it, but this too was their day. As verse 44 again called it, the time of thy visitation. "And this thy day," Jesus said, "if thou had only known the peace." Remember the initial announcement, peace. "If thou had only known the peace that belonged to them." It was for the very same reasons as his birth, their day, as they laid their garments and their palm leaves before him. And may I say, beloved, for all of the same, exact same reasons as his birth and his death. This day, today, is your day. Not yesterday, not just tomorrow, but this is your day. The only question is, do you know it? Do you embrace it? And do you do so in the will of God? Our Father, thank you for your word and how we need it today. I pray, God, that you will open our hearts and minds to this, your truth. We thank you for it. We thank you for your abiding presence. And I pray you'll speak to us, Lord, as we obey and hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Three reasons this morning why our Lord Jesus here and earlier, where the angels announced it, that particular day, they said, belonged to these people. Now, we say belonged to them in the sense that both of these texts here in the Gospel of Luke refer to, again, the peace of God, the things which belong to thy peace, the Lord said. And then it was the angel who said, "Good tidings of great joy, bringing goodwill toward peace on earth." It really was, in every way, their day. When someone finds a $10 bill, out of nowhere, and they say, "Wow, this is really my day," you know, it's not really their day, especially when $10 is worth $3, gas costs $4, and Congress wasted $1 trillion. But Pastor, this really is my day. I just want a free hour of hairstyling. Okay, that's great, but that wouldn't really be my day, would it? You see, the text in Luke says, "Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. On earth, peace, goodwill toward all men." And look at verse 41 again. "And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace." It really was their day, and it was their day not because of some fleeting temporal material bonus finding something, and not because of some fading glory or some fading pleasure. This was their day to discover and to receive the deep and the abiding peace of God that passes all understanding. I'll put it this way. This was their day to obtain eternal victory and security, comfort, and strength. I remind you that on this very same hill, our Lord said he would have gathered them together as a hen doth gather her chicks. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is God making a promise to men. And you know what? That kind of peace and security and glory and blessing, that is when it's really your day. And again, when you look at the reasons, both at the beginning and at the end of our Lord's life, his submissive life, you can see immediately that inasmuch as that was their day from the very heart and mind of God, this day, March 24th, 2013, truly is and ought to be your day. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, the first reason that this was their day, according to the Scripture, number one, you'll notice, is the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 37. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. By the way, you know why the stones would cry out and do so? It says immediately, because guess what? Their very Creator was right there. Jesus Christ, the King who cometh in the name of the Lord, was in their presence in fulfillment to centuries of old prophecies, exactly as was written earlier about his birth. Here, ladies and gentlemen, the very presence of God was reason enough to make it their day. Now, I don't know about you this morning, but there is something that I know today. And I know it with every fiber in my being. I know it to the core of my soul. I know that beyond any shadow of a doubt, I know right now there is something I have absolute assurance of completely changes everything about this day. This March Sunday of 2013. And that is this: I know that Christ is in our midst. I know that Christ, the presence of God, is with us and with me. Now, wait a minute, because I want you to think about what a difference that makes in the minds, the hearts, and the lives of God's people. You see, folks, in both Luke chapter 2 and 33 years later here in Luke chapter 19, it was an incredible thing to tell the people of God that this was their day. Why? Well, because there was nothing in their daily lives that attested to that. For example, look at the government and the political world that they were all under, that they were surrounded by, that they were a part of in that day. One out of three people were enslaved by Rome. Just take this crowd from about here all the way over. Were slaves. One out of three were slaves. The entire nation was occupied. Our country's not occupied. Their whole country was occupied and controlled by an idolatrous, pagan, hedonistic empire. They had no chance, virtually, of rising out of their poverty. Their religion was corrupt to its core. Women were treated like chattel. Faithfulness of God's people was met with persecution. Their priests, their spiritual leaders were completely worthless as emissaries of God. So that the idea of any kind of justice or equity for true followers of Jehovah was basically non-existent in that society. It was a time of complete and total despair for a true follower of God. And yet, Jesus told them, this is your day. People say, Pastor, it's a terrible day. Terrible day that we're living in today. Our government leaders are corrupt. Our financial system is broken. Our courts are becoming hostile to Christ and Christianity. Even the great icons of American society, the great American way. Remember the old jingle used to say, baseball, hot dogs, apple pie, and Chevrolet. They go together in the good old USA. You know, I was a junior in high school when that commercial first came out. Look what's happened in the 15 years since then. Whatever. All right. 25 years since then. I mean, that was like baseball, apple pie. Baseball today, bunch of spoiled, steroid-injected prima donna millionaires. Hot dog and apple pie, not according to the food police. And you can't wash it down with a big gulp either, not in this country anymore. And Chevrolet, well, now that's just a hybrid that runs on a sort of a combination of state and federal bailout money, amen? Why not just make a good car? The old saying says, in a quiet night, you can hear a Chevy rust. How do you make a Chevy go faster downhill? Turn the engine off. What do you call Chevy passengers? Shock absorbers. I mean, there's lots of them. But Pastor, this day and age, oh, this day in which we are living, you've got these people in Hollywood, these bobbleheads getting paid millions of dollars to belittle the Bible and mock the resurrection, and the definition of marriage itself is attacked relentlessly day after day. Professors here in universities nearby having the name Jesus and students come by and stomp on it. What a juvenile, foolish. Those people that stomp on it are going to bow before him someday. It's a childish thing. It's a crazy day, Pastor. It really is. But you want to know something else? This, ladies and gentlemen, is our day. Matter of fact, let me tell you something. This week is your week. I'll go even further and tell you that 2013, I don't know how it's going to end. I really don't. I still know it's your year as a child of God. How do you know that, Pastor? Because it's his year. Today is his day. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I know this because as his year, his presence will go through us every single minute of this day and every single day of the rest of this year. Let me tell you something. A failed Washington can't even come up with a budget. We and our family have been coming up with a budget for over 30 years. It's not hard. It's math. They use imaginary money from a failed treasury. It is a recipe for failure. I don't know how this year is going to end or this decade. This is the same government that's doing this, trying to micromanage the individual choices of its citizens when those choices have been part of freedom for the past 250 years. This is not going to work out well. We've seen this movie before in other countries. Big bloated bureaucracies can't and shouldn't try to rob individual freedom. Guy walked past a driving range and stopped to see someone hitting a bucket of golf balls. And he said to the man, he said, you hit balls here often? And he said, probably four times a week. Really? How much do they cost? The man said, $10 a bucket. And the guy said, $10? How long have you been doing it? About 27 years. 27 years. Do you realize that if you put $10 times four times in the bank every week, that's $160 a month plus an extra money, 5 week months, and that's about $2,000 a year times 27 years. Do you realize that if you place all that into a step-up savings with interest, account for the compound interest, you'd have over $200,000. You realize you could have, if you just didn't hit balls, that you could have enough money by now to buy yourself a brand new red Ferrari. Man says, sir, let me ask you a question. Do you hit golf balls? No. Where's your stupid red Ferrari? Our wasteful government wants to run our individual lives. This is not going to turn out well. The world says peace, peace, there is no peace. But here's the thing. We serve and follow the Prince of Peace. Whether there's peace out there, for every child of God today, there can be peace in here. And you know what? It doesn't matter which Caesar or Herod or Caiaphas gets the headlines on any given day. It doesn't matter if your king is the King of Kings, then the day is yours, that is his presence. And of course, that's not all, because not only was it their day because of the presence of Christ, this is your day. He was right there in their midst. There's something else. It was also their day, number two, because of the power of the cross. Look at verse 9, would you? Jesus said unto him, this day, talk about somebody's day, preached on a few weeks ago. This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Again, verse 47. He taught daily. He taught daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him. Now, please don't miss this.
In Luke chapter 2, we mentioned the birth of our Lord Jesus. The shepherds received a very specific message from the angel of God. Here's what he said. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, what, a general? Did he say is born a president, a leader, a teacher? None of those. What he said was something that 90% of the world out there right now doesn't even fully understand. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Now, wait a minute. What do you think of in your mind when you think of the word Savior? Because when he was born, they were instructed to give him the name Jesus, which means Savior. But what's your concept? Do you think of a person of great wealth comes in and rescues someone from bankruptcy or poverty? Do you picture someone in the United States Coast Guard who jumps down and into the ocean from a helicopter to pull a victim out of the water? A deliverer, as it were. Maybe your idea of a savior is someone who prevents a man from committing suicide or destroying his life with drugs and alcohol. What exactly is your concept of the word savior? I can tell you this much, ladies and gentlemen, none of those is nearly strong enough or adequate enough to capture what the Bible means and has always meant by the term Savior. Let me illustrate it for you. Remember in October of 1993, there was an American convoy in Mogadishu in Somalia ambushed. They were targeted by RPGs that were supplied by a warlord named Muhammad Aidid. One American was dead, others were trapped. Delta Force operators with some aviation support, they came in and they had a 30-minute drop-and-snatch operation. It turned into a 24-hour nightmare. Two Black Hawk helicopters went down right there in the middle of that town. Angry mobs of Somalia militiamen, they began to strike at the U.S. forces. They were lying injured. Two Delta snipers, Randy Shugart and Gary Gordon, they fought against the commander's warnings and asked to be inserted into the crash site to at least protect their fellow soldiers and get them some time. You know the motto, right? Leave no man behind. And so they were inserted by fast rope from a helicopter to save the crew from these hostile mobs. Both the Delta snipers were soon killed. A bad scene turned worse. More rescuers were sent in to extract the living and the dead. And when it was all done, 18 United States soldiers were dead. 73 were severely injured, mostly as a part of a rescue and evacuate operation. Shugart and Gordon were posthumously awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. Because their efforts did buy time, it did save the lives of fellow soldiers that were saved from death. And at the Medal of Honor ceremony, this is the part I remember the most. One of the rescued soldiers said that he could almost consider these heroes as, quote, saviors. And I thought about that word. And I looked up that word. And I studied that word in the Scriptures. You see, here, beloved, you have a reminder of what a Savior, the biblical term, truly entails. A Savior is a bloodied, beaten rescuer. It is someone, biblically, who saves, but at great personal cost. And so it is that way back in Luke chapter 2, when Simeon was told that the name of Christ was Jesus, Savior, that same man then looked at Mary and said, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul. Why? Because unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior. A Savior who at great personal cost would give his blood to ensure eternal salvation. You see, folks, this really was their day. This was the day that the power of the cross would bring full salvation to the hearts of men. And if you want to know why it was still their day, even in the midst of that corruption and all that persecution and tribulation, then look no further than Calvary, where the Lord Jesus Christ dealt the fatal death blow to Satan and to Satan's kingdom. Pastor, do you realize that there are people in America outlawing the Bible in schools and fighting against displays of the Ten Commandments? And yes. And do you realize that there are people getting saved and delivered from the power of Satan every single day? This thy day. The power of the cross. Thus might I hide
my blushing face, while his dear cross appears. Dissolve my heart in thankfulness and melt my eyes to tears. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. You see, folks, burdens are lifted at Calvary, and every day is your day when you know the Savior of the world. The presence of Christ and the power of the cross. Thirdly, you'll notice it was truly their day as the people of God, because number three, there was the promise of His coming. Verse 29. And it came to pass when he was nigh to Bethphage and Bethany. At the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, and the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him, and bring him hither. Verse 32, And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. By the way, most of you in this room know very well that this colt and our Lord is riding upon here is in direct fulfillment of two separate 500-year-old prophecies. In fact, the very words of those who were praising him that day, the precise words, were a fulfillment of centuries-old Old Testament prophecies. The reaction of Christ's enemies were in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecies. And in fact, if you go back in your mind to Luke chapter 2, you will notice at his birth, dozens and dozens of centuries-old prophecies were fulfilled according to the promise of his coming. In other words, look, it wasn't their day, beloved, because they found something like a $10 bill. It wasn't their day because they stumbled across something. This was their day because the God of glory planned and designed and purposed this coming of the Lord. In Luke chapter 2, the Bible says that Simeon, that aged priest who held the baby in his arms, he was a man who, quote, waited for the consolation of Israel. That godly man was aged. How long did he wait for the consolation of Israel? How long did he wait, Pastor? He waited, ladies and gentlemen, his entire life, his priesthood. His priesthood had waited 400 years. His nation had been waiting for 2,000 years. And the sons of Adam had waited 4,000 years. So that now, because of the promise of his coming, this was their day. And folks, for the very same reasons, this is your day. We have a promise of his coming. It will come to pass. This is your day because you have the presence of Christ. You know the power of the cross, and you believe the promise of his coming. Today's the day. It is your day, beloved. The only question again is, do you know it? And do you know why it is? And do you embrace it in the will of God? And if you are here today and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is your day to be saved. Today, the Scripture says, is the day of salvation. It's easy as Christians to get caught up in our surroundings and our environment, and even worse, to compromise with them, to go along with the flow. There were much worse surroundings and environment in the days when Jesus told these people, this is your day. When the angels announced to the shepherd, unto you is born this day, this is your day. But there were people that were faithful. There was a remnant. There were those that were ready for his first coming. There will be those who will be ready for his second coming. I hope you'll be among those. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your word. The presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Thank you, Father, for the power of the cross. Today, every day is a day to serve you because of the power of salvation, the death and the burial of Christ. And thank you for the promise of your coming. May we recognize that this is the day which the Lord hath made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. For those who have asked for prayer, draw them to you now, please, in Jesus' Jesus' precious name. Amen.